This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning, it is Sam and Greg on what is turning out. You did predict it very well, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Pretty good morning.
Good morning.
No, I mean, pretty good looking morning.
It is good looking morning. Well, yesterday morning was a good looking morning. It just kind of went sideways there after around 3:30,
well,
4 o'clock yesterday.
Only on your side of town. It was good on the west side.
It is a game day Sunday morning.
Oh, come on, you can do better than
that. Well, I mean, it's just, it is a game day Sunday because our Braves are playing out in Los Angeles.
And yep.
Atlanta Dream is playing up in Seattle. That'll be later on today. So we'll be watching to see how our teams do in action today. We got NASCAR going on. They're running up in Michigan today. Kurt Busch is on the pole for the race.
You got to say it right.
Up there.
What? In my house.
What's wrong?
Got to say Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Does it matter which part of Michigan?
No, it don't matter.
Okay.
You just got to say the whole state like
Michigan.
That.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay,
all the folks all very happy.
All
right
the
now.
All the automakers are there watching closely, be able to watch the races there today and see who comes out on top with that one. Of course, Kurt on the pole, but Kyle is the one we're watching, and Kevin Harvick. They are both on row two to start the race today. And that's PGA Tour is in Memphis. Stuart Cink, guy who lives here in the area, had a hole in one yesterday, and he's five back from the lead yesterday. So that says what's happening. Dustin Johnson has a share of the lead.
That's how everybody feels until next week.
I mean, we don't know that Dustin Johnson's playing. Everybody don't feel that way. That's what you feel.
I said only the golfers love that. They don't mind.
Well, people who follow the tour.
That's
it's
right.
In Memphis. It's in a tournament that's
next week in our part
of the country.
Next week is when it all happens.
You can drive over there. Everybody ain't driving to Shinnecock.
No, they're not. They're not going up to Long Island.
Also, want to give a shout out. We're talking golfer, and you know what? We had Rick Limpert early, and he talked about the irons.
Right.
And said we mentioned Ricky Fowler.
Right.
Congratulations to Ricky Fowler. He's not playing this week because he got engaged to Allison Stocky, who is a pole vaulter. Very attractive pole vaulter.
I would think so.
But I mean, that's who he got engaged to, and that's a lot on social media about that. So shout out. Congratulations to him. One other golf shout out to Mariah Stackhouse from Riverdale. Shot a 65 yesterday. She has two shots off the lead at this week's LPGA event. If she can go out and come through and get the lead and win, she would make some history today. So she's from North Clayton High School. All the folks out there in Stanford. She's played an All-American out there, and she's been on the LPGA Tour this is her second full season LPGA Tour. Shot her best round since turning professional, 65 yesterday. So I'm even watching a little LPGA today to see if our home girl can get that win.
Love to shoot a 65.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, man. That's something? I'd do anything in the 60s. Just once.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yesterday, Atlanta United, you watched the game. I watched some of the game. Got it done up there in New York. Played NYC FC as opposed to the Red Bulls. These guys play in Yankee Stadium.
Man.
What's up with that?
That's a bad idea.
Well,
And you know what? I watched some people on some chat rooms and whatnot, and some people in New York really hate the fact that they play there.
Well, starting with Yankee fans.
Well, I'm sure.
Yankee fans. There's all kinds of divots in that joint now. Listen, that's what took out Mickey Mantle, if you remember the old story.
Ah.
There was a water, some kind of drainage something, whatever, but it was a big divot that nobody knew was out there, and he stepped in it and was never Mickey Mantle again. He stood there and hit home runs, but he apparently ran like a deer. You know, people will tell you when he first started his career, but
but later on he couldn't run hardly at all.
And was avoiding hitting, if I remember the story correctly, he was avoiding trying to run into Joe DiMaggio. And when he did, he stepped into this, sprinkler thing or whatever, yeah. something that they didn't expect to have in that outfield. And there's a lot of turf that's been torn up because of the soccer game. And I'm saying, you know.
Well, they put some turf down covering up. No, you're looking at this
field.
That was
the infield.
You're looking at this thing and you're saying, there's supposed to be some dirt somewhere.
Right.
And it's all turf out there. It just looked strange.
It did.
On deck circles covered up. And it just looked like a narrow, it seemed like a very narrow field. And I guess MLS is okay with it, but, you know, my goodness, and is an incredible home field advantage for that team. The fact that Atlanta United went there yesterday and was able to come away with a point by getting a draw is that they were relentless in shooting them. We got to give a shout-out to Gazana, the goalkeeper for Atlanta United. He just turned back shot after shot after shot. He had several.
He got tagged a couple times, too.
Yeah.
Right in the face.
He got a couple that bounced off the post. I mean, they were coming close, and they were launching a lot of shots, and they finally got one to go in. And so we settled for a tie up there, but just a remarkable match and just a weird-looking place. And it made us think this morning about stadiums that play other sports that maybe they shouldn't.
You know what I mean? Their usefulness.
You know,
meaning Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
They've done that so long.
Yeah.
That's so long. I guess the players on those teams would know how to respond to a field that wasn't.
Well, they'll find out next year, won't they?
They will.
In Vegas.
Yeah. It would be different to go out there and play on a field that didn't have baseball, didn't have rocks. Because for a time, as we had here in Atlanta.
Well, I was just going to say, what's the difference between what they built out there in Oakland and what we had here in Atlanta at Fulton County Stadium? Because that's where the Falcons played. You're saying it was built for that purpose, but it wasn't. It wasn't a good place to go watch football.
But that was the thing that they did in major cities. That was a late 60s thing. And the stadiums, the cities did the same thing in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Had that one, St. Louis.
These stadiums take AstroTurf in here.
No.
That's the folks in Cincinnati,
man.
And Pittsburgh and
St.
Philly
Louis.
Did. Yeah, St. Louis.
Yeah,
it's hard as a rock.
But I remember seeing games in St. Louis where they would put a thermometer down and just show the heat waves rising up off the turf. Those games up there. But, you know, you got away from that. I think Kansas City is one of the first places that make people think, yeah, we can do two places and two in one area as the stadium's there for the Royals and the Chiefs, and just do separate ballparks. But for a time, that was a multipurpose thing. Here was a good view for baseball. It was terrible for football, you know, the old Fulton County Stadium. And so, you know, you think about that now. It's kind of a cool thing, don't get me wrong, just because you think about the NHL. And what they've done by taking hockey to some different stadiums.
Oh, well, outdoor, that's where y'all grew up.
But that's the thing, though. You don't just play hockey, but they played at Wrigley Field.
They played pretty much everywhere.
They played at Fenway Park.
Yankee Stadium, Fenway. You know? Yeah.
But so that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. Because you still play outdoors even up through some minor leagues.
I know, but not in a baseball stadium.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's the uniqueness of it. Your point is that they go out of their element and do something different, but still doesn't detract from the game.
Right.
What they're doing now is just us being snooty because football existed in these multi-purpose stadiums for decades.
Well, Yankee Stadium had football. The Giants.
Exactly. Wrigley Field, the Bears played there forever.
Right, right. You know, the Jets played at Shea Stadium. So we've seen that before. Matter of fact, we're going to see at SunTrust Park in November, Kennesaw State is going to play a football game.
But it'll be in November, and the Braves won't be coming home
and
shortly
have to play on that field.
Yankees are coming home pretty soon. And these guys use the stadium all the time, correct?
Yes, yes. This is their home field. So, I mean,
wouldn't want to be. I'd be worried about Judge.
I'm really
there.
Surprised that they're somewhere else in that city. I mean, I know New York can be kind of landlocked, I guess, for new facilities or new stadiums or whatnot, but it seemed like there'll be some other. Somewhere in Central Park or someplace
they could go. Central Park. Rutgers, they got that, you know, they got stadiums.
But Rutgers, that's
college.
Jersey. That's Jersey. No, they ain't got, be Jersey. They want to be a New York team. They ain't a Jersey team.
Excuse me, where do the Giants play?
That's the Giants. That's the Giants.
Okay.
The Jets.
They can do it if they wanted to. It's the cachet of having New York Yankees.
They're playing
in Yankee Stadium. That's all this is. That's fine. Let them, you know, deal with that.
But it's rough for the other players to come in, though. And I could see where it's a definite advantage to a team coming in to play in that place. And, you know, just a great effort by our side to go in there and do what they did. That's a difficult place to play. Just look strange.
It's funny. You can you make a case and say that it's actually the worst stadium in in MLS to play in?
MLS. I won't say the worst stadium, but the worst.
Well, what would be the worst?
The worst setup or worst arrangement. I'm sure there's some stadiums that, I mean, Yankee Stadium is a great stadium.
The stadium in of itself. We're not talking about the stadium. We're talking about the field and setup.
That's different. The field and the setup is different. Yankee Stadium is palatial, but for this, it's
it ain't what we're talking about. So yeah. It could be the worst stadium to hold a game, to host a game.
Yeah, I would say that. Well, so many MLS teams have their own stadium set up for them, and we obviously know what we do here. We versus Georgia Tech and our Mercedes Benz, we packed the place out.
How many times have you been up there covering like Braves when they used to go up there? Did you go up there and cover any sports?
Up to
Yankee Stadium.
The playoffs, World Series.
All right. What are your memories of that joint?
It was gone. This is a different stadium.
Okay, but what was your memory of that joint?
I went to that joint back in 1974. Before they remodeled it.
Okay, I know.
Bobby Mercer.
That was before Reggie.
Bobby Mercer was playing.
You went there before Reggie did his thing. Wow, you're going back.
Did they remodel it before Reggie got there?
No. Reggie was there. I mean,
I think they remodeled it before.
No, it was after Reggie.
Was it after him?
Yeah, it was. It was after 77.
They remodeled the place. And, now this is the new place across the street. The upgraded version was very nice. Didn't ever get in the press box. They put us way up in left field. You're out of town media. Go sit up there.
Really? They treat you that way?
Well, that's where we were sitting. I mean, it's a World Series. World Series.
You're NBC, though.
It's the World Series, and like all of the national and international folks, them people got the press box. We got the auxiliary.
So who'd you see? Field. So you talked to Bobby Mercer. Nobody will remember him.
Oh no, I didn't talk to Bobby Mercer. Well, I watched Bobby Mercer play.
Who did you talk to up there that we remember that go, wow, now that's representative of that day? Like if you were to say, I met Kurt Gowdy, or I
was so busy working.
You must have just started too, because Steinbrenner only owned the team for a year. You saying you went up there in 1974? He bought that team in 1973.
Okay, well, the Yankees were there before then.
I understand that, but I'm saying that's when the turnaround started.
I wasn't looking for him. We're in town, and we had a chance to get some fairly inexpensive tickets, and my dad got them because he always wanted to go to Yankee Stadium, so we went. And we saw, and they had some exhibits and stuff you could see when you walked in. So we had like a museum area, and you saw some things like that. So that was memorable.
Okay.
I didn't take any pictures from it, but.
The cloud just lifted over my head.
What's that?
I thought you were going, I thought you said you went up there to work.
No, 1974?
That's why it just hit me.
Dude.
When you said dad. But that's why I was saying you like old as Methuselah if you went up there and worked.
Oh, man.
Like, was it something like a high school kid with a microphone? You like them hidden kids reporters?
You know what? I remember that summer, that trip. And because I wanted to go and we just wanted to go and see Yankee Stadium. And we ended up finding some tickets and we went and watched the game. Yeah.
I thought I literally thought you were talking about covering a game.
I know, man.
And you went up there in 1974. I thought you were one of those.
You know what
reporters.
I remember, though, from the old building? It was so narrow coming out of the clubhouse, and it was so narrow walking to the field. So how they fit Babe Ruth in this thing?
Babe Ruth was only 215, and yeah, he was 6'1".
I'm just saying that the walkway was just – you could tell from that old time, just walking from the clubhouse out to the field. That's the thing I remember about Yankee Stadium. Instead of the new one.
The crazy part about it is, and put it in perspective, Chipper Jones would be looking down at Babe Ruth. It was just who Babe Ruth was playing against back then.
Yeah.
He looked like this monstrosity.
Yeah.
So, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg, both on the other side of the glass on a morning where things happen when it's our show.
Yeah.
When you do the morning show, sometimes you have things planned and some folks just...
Yeah.
They just can't. You know what it's like?
Yeah.
We have that sometimes. We just don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We're still trying to get in touch with Calvin Johnson, talking about his foundation and the events that he has coming up. But we're 0-for-2 so far this morning. Try to get in touch with our own Arthur Tisch, and we hope he's feeling wonderful on this Sunday morning.
Yeah,
and wanted to talk to him.
He usually gives us a listen.
Listen, man, Arthur is there's no, you can't find two or three more bigger baseball minds, basketball minds in the city than Arthur. So
yeah, I know it. I know it. He's been around it. He's seen it. He's seen the people, knows the personalities, and worked alongside so many. And so we're fortunate and to have him working along with us here at Sports Radio 92.9.
Absolutely. And we got somebody else, too, but he just ain't trying to get up on a Sunday. Beck told me that. Rick. Campbell's like getting up on a Sunday morning. He's working hard all throughout the week, and then he's got NBA stuff going on the weekends, and he likes to sleep in on his Sunday mornings.
Hard to get Campbell to do that.
I'll tell you, you've been up here during the week.
Yeah.
You talk about anything basketball-related, he comes out of the woodwork with opinions and thoughts.
He does. He does. I mean, he'll be in here in the middle of his show and take a break. He sees me down the hallway and says,
Clarkson!
Yeah!
That's Rick. We love
him. But you know what, though? It's cool to have somebody like that with that kind of enthusiasm and works around it, obviously, with NBA TV. And then we get a chance to benefit from that here with at 92.9 The Game. And he's exactly that way when he sees you. Because, you know.
The enthusiasm he has for basketball is contagious. And I always try to have at least a couple things to talk to him about, ask him about when I come up here on Wednesdays. Because every Wednesday I'm here. And it's just fun. So I said, Rick, come on. You got to come on with Sam and I in the morning. I listen to you guys. Well, Greg, I'm just not trying to get up. That's my one morning to sleep in. Oh, you know what? I respect that.
Yeah. It was a lot for him to have thoughts on right now with the end of the season. And as you mentioned.
He's not a LeBron fan anyway.
And when with Golden State having won, like you mentioned, how ironic it is. Golden State is his champion. We see them getting off the plane, back out west with the trophies and everything. The conversation really isn't about them.
Nope.
Across the country.
Nope.
You know.
As well, it shouldn't be. You won. Thank you very much. Take your trophy. Go back to San Fran. Oakland.
You feel that? Can you feel that way? Two days after the end of the championship series?
Let me ask you a question. Do you not feel that there are people that feel the same way when the Patriots have won these last few years? Because of
Just because of the things that surround that
organization? There are so many people who have a problem. Listen, Kevin Durant had to address it in the post-game press conference. And talking this various comments about, you know, unfairness or, you know, the feedback you're getting and blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
That's the league's problem.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You can do what you want to do. That doesn't mean people are going to like it. And so if he's the first one to set this precedent, there's nothing out there right now that LeBron could do that would be equal to what he did a few years ago. It's not possible. There's no team, unless he goes to Golden State, that has three all-stars on their team that just won a championship.
And then, hey, you can come on in here and join
us. Yeah, and then come on in here and join us. There's no team like that right now. And you have to be the top player or one of the top two players. So if LeBron's number one, he was number two when he jumped over.
But we know for a fact that the wooing has already started. We saw on social media that some players are saying reasons why he should consider coming to their side. And I guess we'll hear a lot of that in the next, you know, few days because everyone's found out since that time how Golden State, the players, the star players, went to the Hamptons to talk to Durant and get him to come
social
and be
media,
a part of
man,
the team.
Those are the new agents right there.
So it's amazing how that process started almost before the last game was over the other night.
It's not what we're hearing. It's what we're not hearing.
Yeah.
That I think is relevant. And I truly believe, this is just me, I truly believe his people, if there's a move to be made, his people have been in touch with Kawhi Leonard's people and want to know, where are you going? Where are you going? What are you thinking about? California? Yeah, I got a house out there. Why don't you go hang out there and talk to some folks and do your thing? Now, I don't know that for a fact.
Right.
But wishful thinking is, if there's somebody who's going to take that team down, don't let them sit out in the East and try and build up out there. Go over to the backyard. Face them a few times a year than you would an East Coast team. And I tell you, the best landing spot.
Well, that's almost what Houston did.
But it didn't work.
Houston was beating them. They were beating them during the regular season, and they had them right there and took them to a seventh game.
And quite frankly, we could have saw the same thing happen when Durant was with Oklahoma City, who was up 3-1, if I'm not mistaken. He could have stayed and finished the job. But now, if it's me, you have the kingmaker, if you will, in Los Angeles. I'm not not talking about Magic or Rob Pelinka. I'm talking about the logo. And he's working for the Crosstown team. And the Crosstown team's owner is real hungry. And he got deep pockets. He got the second deepest pockets in the league next to the dude who owns Portland, Paul Allen.
Yeah.
All right? So money is no expense. And for that team to take down the Lakers and be the story in that city.
Well, they've been that. They've been that for the last few years.
But the Balls been. And those guys coming over there, they hoisted them, Magic coming back. You're getting the idiot Buson out and Genie taking over. So they've still been relevant out there as far as story-wise. Notes,
but they haven't been winning any games. The team that's been winning, you know, has been the Clippers. They would just fall apart at playoff time. During the regular season, they were great. Postseason time, they disappeared.
Again, Jerry West makes me feel like he, as the guy pushing some of the buttons, going to get, if LeBron lands there, Kawhi Leonard lands there, you got to feel good about Jerry West putting the right kind of players. Not going on getting superstars, the right kind of players around those two particular superstars. And he's got a proven record. That's all I'm saying. Got a proven record of doing it. And the team that just won the championship is part of his legacy.
But you know what, though? You're talking about NBA that has changed, and I think what you're saying is great, but what you're saying is also past. And I think that's what Golden State proves. So what do you do to really counter what's happening now going forward? If this is the prototype, if this is the blueprint for what it's going to take to win, Jerry West ain't been a part of that.
Yeah, he has. He put that Golden State team together.
But not the idea to bring Durant
that
in there.
That's the outlier part of it. He had a championship team before Kevin Durant got there. They won the championship without Kevin Durant. Okay? So he put that together. And at the end of the day, you can say all that stuff, and you're absolutely right. This is a different type of way to make the cake. Okay? But you can't do that from an executive office. Because there's only two players that make that kind of difference, and it's the best player or the second best player. And we know who those guys are. We know who those guys are. That's why everybody's up in arms, because it was the guy who's number two in the league. Forget about what happened to him as his reasons why and why he should have left or should have stayed in Oklahoma City and all of that. He was the second best player on the planet. In the minds of some, the best player on the planet.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
But that guy went to
the team that beat him, and a team
that won a championship. So yeah, you can't orchestrate that sort of team building in an executive office. That was an outlier. But knowing the types of players you need to complement your superstars is something that basketball minds still understand. We could talk to Arthur about that. I think he'd back me up on that. Arthur could see what Brad Stevens was doing in Boston. And how he slowly brought that team up and got the right kind of players. It wasn't about getting superstars. It was about getting the right kind of stars that would play as a team. And it's still happening. We don't know that it's not going to happen. They've got to get Hayward back, and they got to get Kyrie back.
Yep.
And what that team's going to look like. But it's those basketball minds who know, who have played the game, who, and I believe it's got nothing to do with this game's passed you by. This is not, you know, us looking at college basketball and talking about Bobby Knight not being able to coach. He knows basketball. It's just the way he, you know, makes the sausage that people don't want to deal with. Correct?
That's true.
That's just my thought on it. Tony is in Kennesaw. I guess people want to jump on this. Again, we're still efforting Calvin Johnson. Hopefully we can get him here. But as we talk about the NBA, let's talk to Tony. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Hey. Morning, guys. How you doing?
All right.
I think there's two reasons why. There's two things you got to understand about whether or not where LeBron's going. First of all, I don't think he's going to the Clippers because even if Kawhi goes there, I don't think there's nothing else around him for him to go there. Now, LeBron's kid going into high school, that's going to be a determining factor on where he's going, which kind of makes me think he's going to stay in Cleveland. But here's where I think he's going to go. I really think he's going to go to San Antonio because he really, really respects Popovich. If Kawhi Leonard stays there and he goes and plays with Pop, I think Pop can give him the opportunity to play a long time and to win at least two or three championships. If you look at Kawhi Leonard, him, and Aldridge, get him one more shooter, a couple more shooters, and they can beat Golden State.
Well, Tony, the only problem with that theory is, I won't get into the Clippers side of it, but we still don't know the damage that's been done between Kawhi Leonard and Pop. One, and there was an obvious problem. We all know that. We don't know what it was, but when Pop comes out and says, listen, when he was asked a question about his player who's still on his roster, he's like, I don't know, you got to talk to his people. That sounds like there's a problem there. But the other part is we don't know if Pop's coming back to the sidelines, to the court, if you will, because of the loss of his wife. We don't know that. He may just shut it down and stay up in the executive offices. So there's an if that's hanging out there with that, too.
I think if LeBron and I think if his people, if Pop calls LeBron and say, hey, let me just have a conversation with you, and that question is asked, I think Pop comes back.
Yeah,
well,
so
that was that. You got me on that one, because yeah. I would agree that would be something that would make me want to go back to
that would make him come back. Now, as far as Kawhi, I firmly believe that the reason that Kawhi is having a problem with the Spurs is I don't think he trusted their medical staff. When they said he wanted to play, and I think he said, no, I'm going into my contract year. I want to make max money. I want to be fully healthy.
Well,
and I think it was just a clash of people.
Okay. All right, listen, Tony, and we appreciate your call. I mean,
yeah, thanks, Tony.
It's interesting. There's a couple unknowns with San Antonio.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that happen. We talked about the fact that I think it all starts with whether or not Pop decides to come back. Now,
well, I think if LeBron has a chance to come back, I think that helps to bring him back.
LeBron has come back to that team with Kawhi. You got to have all three of those components that he talked about.
Absolutely.
Listen, more NBA talk, more. We're going to get into a couple other things, too. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg.
Morning.
All morning long, you're hearing Prince music. Would have been 60 years old on Thursday, so we are paying our little tribute. Do you think he gets the due he deserves for being the guitar player that he is?
I think if you go back and look at it, some people may not remember, but just take a look back at some of the videos and things that people are revealing and showing. An incredible musician.
Well, we know that. Musician. We know he's a musician overall. And he can play a few instruments.
Yeah, please.
But when you
there
talk
albums where he played everything.
When you talk about all-time great guitarists, be it rock or jazz or whatever, just guitar players, do you feel like his name is included?
No.
Yeah. See, me either.
Yeah, we don't. But, I mean, he could do it.
I always remember that footage. If you got a chance on YouTube, go back and check it out, when they inducted George Harrison into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And on stage, I think, was Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty. They sang When My Guitar Slowly Weeps, and Prince was up there playing. George Harrison's son, who looked just like him at the time being, looked just like him, was also up there playing. But Prince stole that as far as his playing. And it's worthy. YouTube that. Tom Petty, like I said, I think sang lead on it. But, and of course, it was his old buddy. Chalvin Wilbury.
Yeah.
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 But I don't know. I was just thinking about it. As we listen to his music all weekend long. Anyway, we will. I think we all said this, so we're not going to use it as our own, but we are all grateful to still have Prince's music.
Yes.
But this is the time we take a few seconds from the show and talk about what we are most grateful for.
The guys are pretty grateful. Yeah, grateful to be employed.
You guys are like my peeps. You're my dogs.
Now, let's find out what other things they're grateful for on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who's going first? You always look at me, so why don't you
go first?
You
want me to go first?
Yeah.
I'm going first because of what we've been watching this morning, and we'll soon see Rafael Nadal and Dominic Thiem at 9 a.m. clay courts. And I want to say clay courts because I have never played on that kind of clay court, but the courts that we play on in our area are called Hartrue, and it's like a gold.
Whoa, say that again.
Hartrue.
H-A-R-T-R-U?
Hyphen T-R-U, and it's kind of a grayish-greenish granular surface that's easier on the joints as we get a little older, maybe weigh a little more than we should. After we go out and play, we don't have the aches and pains when we play on clay courts as we will play on the hard courts. So, I'm thankful for clay courts.
Peachtree Hills Street that takes you from Lindbergh. You're going toward Peachtree on Lindbergh, right? Behind where the old Gold Club used to be. There's a Peachtree Hills that cuts you over and kind of comes around and drops you back off on Peachtree Street. That's where ADAC is, Atlanta Decorative Center.
Okay.
You've been over there? There used to be a bunch of apartments called the Peachtree Hills Apartments. And it was a racket club.
Okay.
And they had two clay courts. I know that because I used to live there.
Okay.
And it was the best, one of my best. I used to love living there.
Isn't that good?
In the back there, but they had two clay courts. And I played there a couple times, but it was no longer a club. It was just apartments, you know.
Okay.
They had a bunch of unique different people in there, some rappers that lived in there, and I was living there. But it was a cool place. But that was the first time I had really, in Georgia, played on some clay courts. Bo, what you most grateful for?
I have to say that today I'm most grateful for swimming pools. In about 2.5 hours, I'm going to be sitting by mine, and I might not leave it the entire day.
There you go. Excellent to have on the days that we have right now.
Now, is that you at the pool with adults, or is it you watching your daughter at the pool?
It'll be me and watching both my daughters probably in the pool while I sit there with a little ice chest. Might cook up some food later.
A little ice chest. Nice.
I don't know that would be enjoyable when parents have to watch their kids. They don't get to relax as much.
No, it's good. It's fun. Because I'll jump in. I mean, one of them's 12, so she can swim. Okay. And she kind of takes care of the other one. And the other one has floaties on. I'll jump in and throw her up in the air and splash around a little bit. And then I'll get out and soak up some sun.
That's all they want daddy to do, man. They want daddy.
It's all good.
Yeah. It's daddy's girl's time.
It's not like if it was like a couple toddlers.
Right.
You know? You probably wouldn't be any pool time, you know, because you know you float them in the little contraptions and then they get tired of it in like 30 minutes, and you got to go inside. And yeah, we're at the age now where I can actually enjoy the pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool.
We brought this up earlier. I hadn't really considered it, but I'm grateful for Voice 123. And those of you out there that want to tap into this is not an exclusive club. You could join it, and it is a revenue stream that could be as profitable as you want. You can work at it on a daily basis. Again, they will walk you through it. There's a subscription fee. You could use it right now, but I'll be honest with you. Anything that you record is going into a bin of thousands of others, and they're not going to hear it. But if you're a premium subscriber, you can monitor where your audition is. You can, when you wake up in the morning and you see one, I'm perfect for this, and you can see that five people have submitted for that already.
Okay.
Or 40. And maybe you might not want to do it. They'll tell you how many auditions they're looking for. And again, it's just it's a tool that heretofore wasn't around. And it takes the job away from some agents. But your demo is your agent. You put that together and you load it up there. And again, 15 to 20 jobs will be waiting for you. And they'll start off reasonable, $100 to buy $500. But the more you audition, they can go up into the mid five figures.
Whoa.
So, again, I'm up there. I'm most grateful for Voice 123.
All right.
This hour.
All right. Look at you. Look at you.
Would you go to a T.O. Hall of Fame party in lieu of going up to Canton? If you've heard that T.O. hangs out here in town, which he does.
Yeah.
And he was at club whatever, and he was throwing his own Hall of Fame party.
Yep.
And he had maybe even an artist performing that you liked. Would you go?
If I had a chance to go to the Hall of Fame? And
no,
go to
that? His party. Yeah. You're not going to the Hall of Fame. You're not going up there unless, you know, there's not anybody in this class, Atlanta connected, that's, you know, would make you want to go up there, and you're not covering it. But you're here in town.
Yeah.
And T.O.'s throwing a party. Are you going?
If I'm on the list and invites me, I'd probably show up.
Parking pass and paper.
I'm going to go, yeah, whatever you got. Whatever you got. Get in there. What else? What do you serve? What's on the menu? Popcorn, right? Popcorn. Make sure you come to the door. Get your popcorn.
Well, that's what's going to happen. There's a possibility it could happen here. He hangs out here in town, right?
Would he be doing that then at the same time? You figure
you
pretty
much
exactly he'll be
want to do it
he'll be doing
time.
Something. He will be doing something at that time.
Yeah, because he wants to throw a monkey wrench into what's going on there. That's his whole. That's what seems to be his whole point. We don't know for sure.
Why?
Can you
what purpose does it serve?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can you not ask that question about numerous moments in his career? Why? Why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why can't you be this kind of person in the locker room? I mean, that why is the start of many, many sentences having to do with him during his career.
Yep.
But then again, the other person can say, the things that made you shake your head about him is what made him the Hall of Fame player. We talk about the arrogance of some people that you just wished you had a 2x4 to take two. But it was who that person was that got him to the mountaintop.
Well, absolutely. That's what they felt like they had to do, and they had to embody that. And once they figured they got to the top, and they good that they couldn't lay it down, they had to continue to be that and be true to who they were. I understand that totally. I mean, you like it or think it's great or whatnot. But if he invited me to a party,
I still ain't going.
You ain't
going
to go?
I'm going. You know? He holds it at Lucky's, I'm going. Who, by the way, have a wonderful brunch that starts here at what time he said?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock? There 10 o'clock. You go. No, man. I mean, but that's the thing. And as much as people want to shake their head about him doing what he's doing and not going out up to Canton, you can't be that surprised.
Yeah, if it was going on at that same time, that would be the thing. I mean, would
yeah, I think it is. I think it is going on there. But you can't be surprised by it because that's who he's been. Right?
That's him.
Listen, we all shook our head when college kids stopped going up to New York or going to where the draft was because they stayed at home. That was a thing. Now it's the norm. So we might see this moving forward.
Yeah.
And as I finish talking here, you makes me want to talk like this, hell. Because this is what you want to lay down doing the blues when you hear this kind of music.
Little Rogene Bailey Prince.
There you go. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Get your popcorn ready.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.